They call me Chiquita because I go for all the low-hanging fruits.
Oh. Oh. Not bad. The only thing I want to hear about my age is that I'm aged to perfection.
Oh, you're actually really good at this.
Call me Thanksgiving dinner because I'm plated.
I was trying to think of something that would plate it too, and I could not.
I couldn't. I mean, that's all I thought of. It's not even good. But I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And I'm Tara, again.
And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
That's in Utah.
Oh.
And yes, you are hearing my mother's voice yet again because our flight has been canceled 2 days in a row. And we're still in Kentucky, so
we can't get out.
So we watched the episode together, and we're here to talk about it again. And yeah, I just want to say, American Airlines, I hate you. And
stress inducer.
Spirit is also on my list, even though we're trying to fly them again today. It's just been a very stressful.
You know, karma always comes back. So
that's right.
What you said.
True. Well, Spirit, for the most part, I love you, but I hate when you cancel my flight because there's no other ones for 2 days. And American was just horrible. We like upgraded our seats on this like very last minute flight, and we were excited to just be like home. And then they delayed our flight, and then our next one, we wouldn't make it, so then they had to change us. And the lady was just so rude and just very not helpful and didn't give us any upgrade seats or anything like that. And was just like, you get what you get, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Bye. Never even said sorry at all. So they're on my list. We ended up canceling them, and we're trying Spirit again. And the only reason we fly Spirit is because, A, it is cheaper, and B, it's direct to LAX from Lowell, so... That's the best part about it, really.
If they cancel, if this flight doesn't work out, we're just staying through Christmas.
And no more cats.
Oh, no. We'll just fly the cats here.
There you go.
I wish. What do you guys think of the episode? Eh. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard when there's, like, such a damper over the whole thing.
Yeah. It wasn't a heavy hitter, but there was, you know, development.
There was Mike taking across, off of and cussing from Lisa again.
Right.
Which
she was avoiding a hot mic again.
And then she still got on mic. Whatever right. She did say was on the mic. That is not going to look good on the reunion.
Yeah.
We got our Spotify Wrapped back just now.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one country aside from the U.S. of listeners is Germany.
Yeah.
So, Guten Morgen.
And Guten Nacht.
And Guten Nacht.
That's all we can do.
And also, we are in the top 10 podcasts for like over 70 people, and we're the number one podcast for 7 people. So that means we're going to show up on some of your all's raps, which is really cool.
Yeah, thanks. I always forget, you know, we're just like chit-chatting about it, and I just forget people listen. And it goes out into the world.
See, all week I'm like looking at the analytics on my little app and I edit them, and Travis is just like, wait, people listen to this? But yeah, thank you so much for listening. It's a very fun time of year when we get to see these raps and realize that like you guys are actually out there listening to us and enjoying us. So we appreciate it very much so. Oh, this is a good time to say that I also made us an Instagram account, @PrivilegedTwinks. If you're not following it, I put like little memes there that I see on Twitter and stuff like that. It's also a good place to just like have a discussion about the episode, and I reply to most every comment on there. So that's just a fun place that we have now. So follow us @PrivilegedTwinks, and I guess we'll get into the episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so we open at Angie's house. She's, like, making some kind of charcuterie or something.
Dare I say she looks like she has joy on her face and emotion? She looked happy. I was like, emotion?
I feel like she's happy because all the drama is finally away from her, away from her husband. She can just kind of be like, so, Heather, what's the tea?
Yeah. But maybe she's just growing on me, you know?
I think she's growing on a lot of people.
I know.
Maybe her Botox is just wearing off a little bit.
Oh! That's a fair point. She hasn't re-upped yet.
So basically, Heather says coming to her house feels like an event, which I would see that because it's always very pristine and very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go. Sure.
It's too, I mean, it's just too sterile looking for me.
Yeah. I guess I was going to ask if you could have a dream kind, like style of house, what you have, but you built a house, so I guess this is it.
And it's evolving and changing all the time, so, but I do love their, I like the sterile environment look. I love the, all the white and the shiny and the clean.
Mm. I like the, like, architecture style of the outside. What do you like the outside look, how it's, like, blocky and?
I didn't pay any attention.
Oh, yeah. Travis hates.
Tyler loves simple shapes.
No, that's contemporary.
I don't necessarily want it to be the most simple. Like, I would like it to have some, like, balconies and wood and stuff like that, but I don't need it to have, like, frilly little curly cues on the windows.
I love frilly little curly cues.
That's what he wants.
Frilly little curly cues.
I mean, that's just personally. I don't need that. I'd rather just have, like, a very nice wood with a very nice, like, glass or something like that.
I like the details. I want to see, you know, layers upon layers.
I like the glass.
Yeah. I agree.
Give me windows.
If I can pay for someone to clean them on the outside and the inside.
Oh, that's a problem.
Okay, so Heather is like, where do you think Pioneer Day went wrong? She's like, the wagon question. Your first question.
Yeah.
And, but she does say that she, in her confessional, she thinks it was, like, weird how she can just be, like, charming all at one time, then angry and vicious and mean, and then also detached and vacant. And it reminds her of Jen. What do you think about that?
I don't agree.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you.
I get the, like, the emotional range that's being displayed, but I don't think of... Monica's never reminded me of Jen. Jen was, like, an attention-seeking, like, she was throwing tantrums because she was either...
Because no one was paying attention.
Yeah, she was either happy in the center of attention, or she was mad when it was, like, not a good light on her, or she wasn't the center of attention. I don't know. It just isn't the same to me.
I understand what Heather's saying about the one minute she can be happy and the next she can be screaming, to where that reminds her of her, but I agree with Travis when I say that I think it's totally different because we can see what has actually triggered her. I mean, it's always something to do with her mom or to do with being secluded and isolated or left out of something, which she has felt her whole life.
Or not to feel like...
Her lineage. Or...
Yeah, and the people that are supposed to be on her side, like Heather, are coming after her immediately and taking Lisa's side.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa's coming after her, again, about her mom. That's how... Or, you know, about being mean to women and about, and then when it started escalating, she started talking about her mom again. So, Jen's blow ups were just like Travis said about being in the center of attention or just because it was, I don't know, too drunk or stupid. But hers, I understand where they come from.
Yeah.
I also don't I mean, this feels a little weird to me coming from Heather. I don't really like, she's talking about it like, this isn't normal human behavior. I don't, you know what I mean?
Right. A whole crowd of people gang up on you and you shut down. That's normal.
Right. And she's like, oh, she has emotions. Like, yeah. I relate to Monica in that, like, sometimes I get overwhelmed with, and I just shut up and, like, I don't want to talk about it, things anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't like, what was the other thing she said? She's either, yes, she's super happy. Nothing.
She's either happy, angry, or shut down.
Right. There's nothing like out of the ordinary. So I don't understand why this is like, right. And I don't, and I feel like you could apply it to them.
And she's not all three of those things in the same moment.
Right.
Whereas not, I think yeah. Jen was kind of, would be kind of like, I'm crazy, I'm the life of the party, I'm going to fight with you, and then I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
But she was saying those are the things that happen at that particular luncheon. She was happy and couldn't wait to share the trip. Then all of a sudden she's screaming and mad at Lisa and then all of a sudden she shut down and
I guess.
But that's like a normal progression of things. Like she came to an event happy. She got into a fight with somebody. She felt like she was getting ganged up on and she was done.
Yeah. I agree. But I can also see what Heather's saying is that it was obvious the season that she was too wrapped up in Jen. Her ratings went down. Everybody wasn't liking her. She was looking like a really bad person, and she doesn't want to be caught up in that again with somebody else.
Yeah. I think just the way she said it was like, wait a minute, is she Jen? And it's like, no.
No.
She's just very cautious that she can't get too wrapped up or too friendly, too close with somebody that's going to be that same way and make her digress again.
Yeah.
It just feels a little patronizing, I think is what I'm... It feels like... Heather's been in fights on the show. She's been happy to start, got in a fight with somebody, and been moody afterwards. And so it's like, why are you talking about Monica like she's, like, you're a parent and she's a child?
True.
Like, she doesn't, like, Monica hasn't learned some part of, like, how to behave.
Right. They've all done it.
I mean, Monica is, like, a little different in how she goes after people, but...
I mean, we've all done it. It's not like it's just the housewives.
I mean, yeah.
It's a natural emotion, I think.
Right.
So it's a boot for Heather on that.
Well, the main point about this Angie's house thing is she's like, all right, do you think Bermuda's still going to happen? Blah, blah. And then Heather's like, I need to talk with her about it one-on-one. I'm sure I'll see her at the jewelry event. And then Angie makes a big thing about not being invited to the jewelry event. Which, at this point, I do feel like Meredith's being a little stupid.
Yeah, I was like, why wouldn't you guys she be invited?
You guys both, like, came to an agreement. Angie, I mean, at the end of the day, Meredith was threatening her, and Angie kind of let it go and said, let's move on. So I don't really understand why she wouldn't be invited to this.
Right, especially because there's been so many times that there were bigger fights or more hurt feelings, and they've all been invited anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And they're all going to be on the trip.
It was so minor that when she said she wasn't invited, I was like, wait, why?
It's probably because she made that one comment about Meredith's jewelry having spider webs on it. And now it's a jewelry event.
Possibly.
All right, so now we're in the car with Whitney and Justin. They're wearing the same Gucci shirt.
Yeah, matching therapy outfits. Is it cute or is it not cute? I don't know.
It's not cute.
Not cute. They looked really good, though.
But the first thing they say is, like, I wonder if therapy makes things better or worse. I don't think that's how you want to leave it, but I guess they said in the long
I think sometimes, I think if you go into therapy thinking you're in the right and the therapist turns it around on you, you're probably like,
you
might need
to
sit with that for a minute.
Yeah.
I was impressed by how, I'm like tall, and so she was just, I was impressed by her sitting cross-legged in a car, because I can't really do that. I don't feel like that's safe, though. Like, if the airbag goes off, she probably shouldn't be doing that, but I was like, look at that, she's so tiny, like, you could just, people can do that, wow.
I didn't even notice she was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they both are like, well, as long as we're working on things and we want to be in the marriage, that's, like, all that matters. Kumbaya.
Yeah.
And then she gets this text that says her friend Sherry, who they do, like, a flashback. She's been at pretty much every event or a lot of events. They just haven't really shown her.
Mm-hmm. That Whitney has thrown.
Yeah. But she was at some of the other ones, too, A lot of times on Housewives, people get to bring their own friends in, even if they're not going to be part of the show, just kind of, like, for support.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, at a party, if everyone's against you right now, you might bring your friend. And production lets you bring your friend.
Interesting.
Kind of like when that one time you were like, who is this blonde woman at this event? It's the same thing. It's like, they just invite their actual friends, too, sometimes. But we find out she has cancer and has been intubated, and obviously, as we know from the rest of the episode, does not make it. But in this moment, she's kind of like letting us know what's going on and what's probably to come. But they also agree that, like, these little things make them feel like the things in their marriage are trivial, and probably the things that they're happening with their friends are trivial when there's like when you look at the bigger picture of it.
Yeah. Perspective.
I thought this was a very real moment. Because I think that happens to us at different times in our life where we feel down or we feel sad or whatever, and then all of a sudden something else happens that makes you realize, oh, this isn't that big a deal. And I thought that was a good, I don't know, I just felt like it was really real for them and I just thought it was a good moment for them in the car.
And I also think some people, like Meredith, want to, things happen to them, but they want to keep it private, but then they want to hold it against people, and you don't know why Meredith's even, like, upset, because she won't share that with the audience.
Right.
Which, sure, people can deal with grief however they want to, but it does make it feel like you understand more of where Whitney's coming from, and why she'd be upset about things from the jump, as opposed to just making blatant, weird comments about children dying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then wanting to excuse the whole season because you were dealing with your parents' death.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, but like you said, we didn't know it at the time, so it just made her look bitchy.
Yeah. So then Lisa meets Meredith for lunch, and things do not go amazingly. Meredith's wearing her earrings that they point out, which I did not think those were the best. I don't know. I liked some of the other ones they showed, but those I thought were ugly. Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
I liked them.
You liked them?
It's like, I didn't think about you saying this, but I was expecting you. I would expect you to say
that. Well, they had a little M on it, and I'm like, we don't need everything to have your...
Oh, was that an M?
It was like a circle with like a
thick hoop.
A thick hoop with an M on it, and then the rest of the hoop.
I thought it was a little flower.
It might have had a flower, too, but...
Yeah, I went with the M.
It's kind of like last year for Christmas... Meredith has always been one of Mom's favorites, or, like, was for a while. And I wanted to get her something, some merch or something from her website. Everything just has an M on it. Which, like, sure, if your name starts with or ends with an, or your last name is an M, but it's like a generic, like, Times New Roman font. It's not a logo that you want to put on things. Like, the pop socket was just an M on a pop socket. If your name doesn't start with M, who's going to buy that?
She said, and who's going to know what it is, honey,
when you are sporting it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of how I feel about the jewelry. If it's just going to be the letter M.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I like that phrase, though. Sporting it.
Sporting it.
Yeah.
Now we know why her son has everything with his name down it, too, though.
Yeah.
But at least that sounds like a designer name. Like, so, I mean, it doesn't, but like...
I also thought this on the episode... Where did Seth go and his children? They have three kids. The oldest one is not on the show at all. But we've seen the two. And I don't... Like, Seth is kooky. A little kooky. And I his children do not seem to have taken on any... They seem very much like their mom.
Yeah. Well, maybe Seth wasn't around very much in their formative...
Yeah, but some things are just genetic.
Okay, like, but... Yeah.
Maybe we just haven't seen their kooky side. Or maybe
they're kooky, but they just talk like Meredith.
Okay. Maybe.
Maybe the oldest one is like him, that's why they don't show him.
No. Remember when Brooks was just like jumping around in his little boots in the parking lot?
That was a little kooky.
I don't remember that.
When they were going snow skiing? Or
they were doing
the cross-country thing?
Cross-country walking or something.
Yeah. Oh, I already forgot about that.
Okay, so basically things are going well until Meredith's like, I just want to clear something up. Did you tell Angie that I threatened her family? And Lisa's like, no, I just said what you said outside the restaurant. And she's like, oh, okay, good. And then Lisa's like, which were threats? And that turns into a whole argument, basically, back and forth, where Meredith's saying... She wasn't threatening. Oh, and also Lisa was like, I wouldn't want someone to say those things about your family or my family. So, like, I just thought it was nasty. And that's why I told Angie. And that's why I pulled back after Palm Springs with you. And she's like, but you didn't pull back from Angie, who said all these nasty things about me, too. Which is true. But Angie said them to her face. She wasn't threatening to bring up bad rumors about her entire family.
And it triggered Lisa because Meredith had done the exact same thing to her the previous season.
Last season, yeah.
Well, also, Angie was reacting to Meredith. Like, Meredith didn't invite... The initial volley was, like, Meredith not including Angie.
Yeah.
But I also... Did you think... Do you agree with what she was saying about the hypocrisy part of it, where...
She is in Meredith?
Yeah, Meredith was saying that Lisa's being hypocritical because wait, was it about Monica?
Yeah.
She was making a comparison, saying like what she's doing and what...
Because Monica's playing a victim and Angie was playing a victim.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something else in there, too.
I think it's two totally different things.
There was something else in there where I was like, oh, I kind of agree with that. But now I'm not remembering what it was. I'll think about it.
I thought it was... I see where Lisa's coming from, but I also understand Monica where it's like...
Oh.
Not Monica, Meredith. Where it's like, we've talked about this, we patched it out, we said we were going to move on, and why do you keep bringing it up? It's like, I don't understand why. I mean, you know, if I were her, I would be frustrated with the fact that she still keeps throwing it in my face when we've said we were going to move on and we were done with it.
Yeah. I feel like, I think Lisa said too, at some point, she said, Monica, I don't like how nasty she gets, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, but... She's lucky, like, basically saying she's lucky I don't go after her because of the low-hanging fruit. Like, it would be easy for me to crush Monica. And I think that's what Meredith was saying was a little hypocritical. Because Meredith was outside saying, Angie's coming after me, and if she wanted me, I can crush her. All the woomas and the nastiness. And then Lisa's now saying, she's lucky I don't fight like that because blah, blah, blah.
I mean, that is hypocritical, I guess. But... It's a little different because Monica's calling her ugly. Lisa could come back and say, you're ugly. You know, like, I don't know if it was necessarily... She wasn't saying ruin your family.
But she was being unclear about what low-hanging fruit she was talking about.
That is true. Well, we end this, and I don't think they're very happy with each other at this moment.
No.
And
I mean, she was very, like, outwardly criticized. She was like... That's, ew, that's nasty.
She did, yeah.
Which is not a nice way to say you, like, if that's your friend, you know, you're trying to keep things peaceful. Like, there's a way to criticize without being like, yeah. Ew, icky.
I'd be like, maybe don't say those things anymore because it does hurt people's reputation.
Yeah.
But not say, like, I would never want someone to say those things. That's nasty and horrendous behavior.
Yeah. Like, I'd be like, oh.
Yeah. And we get the line, karma comes back. From Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe another back.
Another cryptic message from Miss Vague herself.
Well, and we know that she starts going a little crazy in Palm Springs. Or not Palm Springs, in Bermuda.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe it'll be against Lisa. Who knows?
Who knows?
Because now Meredith and Whitney
mm-hmm.
are together. Okay, so we go to Mary's house and... She has so many of those giant chairs.
I know. Maybe they're the same ones.
When they were walking, they were sitting at two different giant chairs than her and Heather were sitting at.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were walking into her house and she was like, we've lived here 21 years, there were two more just in the hallway.
Let the woman have her
giant chair.
Giant chairs.
It's just crazy how many there were. I couldn't.
She's got a big house to fill.
Did you not think it was just weird that Monica was going to Mary's house in the first place, though?
Well, like I said, the producers are like, Mary, you have to have people over. And she's like, okay, well, I guess Monica doesn't hate me.
I can see that.
So, yeah, they eat cake, and Mary is saying, like, she's been protecting herself. She's not going around people that are going to make her lose her mind.
Like Whitney.
Like Whitney. People, as in, they show two
you
scenes.
You called me a pornography.
Yeah, they show two scenes, it's both Whitney.
Yeah.
And then Monica says she thinks she's, like, Lisa's making her lose her mind, and that Lisa's relentless, and Mary says, like, well, you do kind of, like, go back and forth with her. And Monica's like, you're right. And she said, but she just feels like Lisa gets really nasty. Which is ironic because that's literally what Lisa just said about her. Which I do think Lisa does get nasty with the mom comments and stuff. Like, those are different. They're not about your appearance, but it's about your family. Like,
your deep wounds.
I think Lisa's is worse, but for Lisa, for all of these women who are so concerned about their appearance, they probably think it's worse to say you're ugly and wrinkled and need Botox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Mary is like, what makes you think, Or she's like, I did call her materialistic. And she's like, what makes you think she's materialistic? And then she does an impression of Lisa, which is really good.
It was I was like, I don't know if it's accurate, fully accurate, but I liked it. It was funny.
Oh my God, Mary. I love that ring. How many carats is it?
Chanel.
Which, the whole time, Mary's like, yeah, yeah, agreeing with her. And I'm like, you're the one with Chanel and Versace pillows. Like, chill out.
Yeah.
Like, you're not materialistic. Then Mary is basically like, gives her some advice on the whole thing. And Monica says that Mary is great at giving advice, just not good at listening to her own advice.
We don't know if she's taking it.
But then Mary kind of does say, like, you shouldn't say things like wrinkly.
Yeah.
You're wrinkly.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like going after people's personal appearance, especially things that they can't help. I mean, I know you can get Botox, but, like, that's an elective medical procedure, technically. So, mm-hmm. like, I would consider that something, you know, you can't help the way that you were. Your genes turned out.
But you also can't help the fact that your mother was never there for you and treated you like crap your whole life and left you at 12.
That's true. That's true, too. I'm just saying, I don't like to make fun of people for things that they can't help, including that. You know, it's like not, I don't know. So I feel like Monica is a very entertaining person, but I don't think she needs to go for...
Yeah.
Like, part of reading people being good at that is, like, getting at them for things that they do. Do you know, you get what I'm saying?
I mean, yes, but also, I think part of reading is also, like, maybe not just saying you're ugly. Like, if you're going to say you're ugly, say it in a
different way. Clever way, yeah.
But I also feel like that's so much less hurtful because, I mean, it's like children on a playground stuff. You're fat, you're ugly, you're, it's like, she's not really serious about it. She's not really, like, that's just surface stuff that anybody and everybody throws out there. It's not cutting deep, like... You're crappy to your mother, or you're—I mean, like I said, the stuff that's wounds, trauma from the time you were little bitty. Her saying that Lisa's ugly, everybody knows it isn't true.
Yeah,
and she's definitely not wrinkledy. I mean, that's just stuff that's like mean girl throwing out there. That's just trivial to me. It'd be different if she really was ugly, or really was fat, or really—and you said those things, but. She's not.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we do find out that Whitney's friend Sherry has passed away. And Angie is on the phone with her, calling her. They ask if she's going to the event, at Meredith's event. And she says yes, because she feels like Sherry would have wanted her to go. And Sherry came to her Prism event in the last week before she passed. And she just feels like that's what she... would want. But obviously she's like in the car like weeping. So she's not like in the best. She said it's the hardest thing that she's ever had to do.
She's in a very vulnerable spot emotionally right now.
Yes. Yeah. Which, well, we'll get to that later. First, we have to go shopping at the Modern Missionary Menswear.
Oh, God.
Which I didn't understand. Why would they call it Modern Missionary Menswear, blah, 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 but then they have things in there that they can't wear?
I know. On the mission. More for prom.
Yeah, I know. I was like, okay. But, yeah, basically Lisa's treating this like a fashion show and wants to pick out all the fun things. And then they're both like, I can't wear that on the trip.
Right. It's like work.
Yeah.
I also saw on Twitter she said that he was leaving for Bogota now. She's like, if you see him at the airport, tell him I love him. Like, so what she tweeted. So I guess the mission is starting. Like, he's been seen because he hadn't left yet.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Oh, so he is going on a mission then.
That's what it seemed.
Oh.
There's conflicting stories on it. I don't know. So then they have this talk kind of thing, and Jack really is like, I think I need to do this. Like, we need to be separated for you, not for me. Because, like, you need time apart from me because you're, like, obsessed with me. But, I mean, eventually we do get, like, it's going to be hard not having you for Christmas and stuff like that. And he does get a little emotional. But yeah. Not, he doesn't let himself get that much.
What's your professional mom read? Is she being overly obsessive?
Yeah, I mean, he's 18. He needs to have his space. And I feel like the reason he's going on a mission is just to get away from her.
Yeah.
And
he didn't want to go to college.
So, right, so this was
the only way.
The only way to...
Mm.
I didn't like how he said, it's going to be good for me because I'm going away to a poor country. So when I come back, I'll realize what all I have.
I didn't like that either.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying it. I kind of zoned out a little bit.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe don't generalize a whole country. And also, maybe don't think about it in terms of how it's going to help you. It just feels icky.
Yeah.
But he's also 18.
There's lots of poor places in the U.S.
Like, I think it's also kind of a reaction to the things that she has been saying.
I agree.
You can do anything. You can go anywhere. We can give you whatever you want here. We can, and he doesn't want any of that. So maybe kind of what he's saying is, once I've done this on my own for 2 years in a different country, I mean, you shouldn't have said everybody's poor there, but I understand what he's saying. He's like, maybe then I will appreciate this more. But for now, this isn't what I want. I don't care about your fashion. I don't care about your money. I want to experience life differently.
It's just funny because I don't think he actually, I think he is materialistic and I think he does care about fashion and he does care about how much is in his bank account. And the reason he doesn't want to go to college is to keep growing his businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not going to be able to do that on a mission.
Oh, you think Lisa's not going to keep Fresh Wolf alive?
Well, I know, but that would happen either way.
Also,
but I think it's easy to say that and feel like you're being genuine when you really don't even realize that you're so... Kind of like Lisa and her... Right, she was so upset that Monica called her materialistic, and she is.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, I just had the thought. Every time that they go to a restaurant and Lisa's there, that restaurant has Vita Tequila. Do you think...
That too.
That, like, a lot in Utah do, or she just only goes to the ones that she has?
I think for filming purposes, she probably insists on going places that have her alcohol.
I think if she's just ordering a tequila sunrise, she just says it's Vita. It's not necessarily what they're giving her.
I mean, that's genius. Why not? The waiter's like, mm-hmm, okay.
Okay, Vita, yeah, sure.
Sure. She probably brought her own bottle.
I'm not saying that they are trying to dupe her. What I mean is, like, she's trying to plug her brand, regardless of whether the tequila that they're serving is Vita or not.
Yeah, she says, can I get a Vita Sunrise? And then the waiter's like, oh, we don't have that. And she's like, cut it. Cut that. Cut that last part.
So then Heather meets Monica at a bar, and I was really confused why she brought a box of vodka to a bar, but then I guess it's because they were going to the event afterward.
Is that what she had the rum in?
Oh, yeah. It must have been what she had the rum in the case. Yeah. But also, I don't understand why she had to bring that into the bar. Bring it back out to the... Unless they were, like, at a separate part of the same venue or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was a separate part, because didn't she, like, get everybody and bring them out to do the presentation?
Well, no, this is just when Heather and her are talking.
Before, when she's asking her if she's going to go to Bermuda or not.
Gotcha.
So maybe they were just, like, in a different room of the venue where the event was happening. Anyway, Heather asked, are you going to Bermuda? And she's like, no, I'm not. And then Heather was like, oh, okay. And then she's like, just kidding, but you took that really well. And
just kidding.
Monica just said, like, the Pioneer Meal was difficult for her. And Heather said, if you're going to dish it out, you have to be able to take it. And Monica said, that's fair. But just, like, what she does in that situation, she thought was what was best for her was just to, like, shut down and be quiet. And then she said she owes Heather an apology and that she let her down because of not being able to announce the whole trip and everything like that and not bring positivity to it. And Monica said she's going to be, like, nicer going forward. And Heather's like, well, that's the least you can do.
Yeah, that's, like, baseline.
And she said, you need to stop calling people ugly or old. And then she says, we are middle-aged, you know. And she said, no one wants to be reminded of that ever.
Yeah.
So then at Meredith's jewelry event, it's called Plated because there's all the pieces are supposed to be fun and beautiful, but also affordable.
Because they're not solid gold. They're just plated in gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you did, like, later on she did say, like, they range from $50 to $500. So it is still not, like, low end. It's not like you can just go
on. It's not. Because her exact words were, this is jewelry that everyone can buy. Not everyone
can buy. Jewelry everyone can buy is earrings from Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm not spending $50 on a pair of earrings, even the lowest price end.
Well, Lisa thinks middle class people have $60,000 rings. So.
True.
Delulu.
Yeah. Okay, so then Whitney comes in. She does look really, really beautiful. The makeup looked really good. And Meredith kind of like is like, what's wrong? She said Sherry passed away yesterday, and Meredith hugs her and they like both cry. And in her confessional, Meredith says like she feels horrible for her, but her showing up really like meant something. Like she knows that she didn't have to be there, and yet she did show that they're trying to move on and move forward. Then we get Lisa coming in, and she brings Heather all these gifts and is just, like, laughing and kind of ignores Whitney and then just, like, walks away. And Whitney is like, Lisa's the first person I told that she passed away. Like, I thought we were really close, and she just kind of brushed me off immediately. Didn't even, like, ask
her. Acknowledge she was there, kind of.
Yeah. So then Meredith does a little speech. She thanks Seth a lot. And then says that everything ranges from $50 to $500. And then Lisa comes up and Monica comes up and Whitney's there. And Whitney's kind of like, I can't be a part of this right now. Whatever is about to happen. But Monica pretty much immediately is like, I'm sorry. I was like really excited to meet you when I first met you and have a relationship with you. And she says she really wants to make sure Lisa knows she, like, respects her. And it's just, like, very positive.
Yeah, and Lisa said she knows how to apologize.
Yeah.
Which, do you think, this is the second, she apologized to Heather and now to Lisa. Do you think she is great at apologies? Because I feel like she is good at them.
I feel you mean like they're fake?
No. I feel like she's good at apologizing.
I think she is, too.
Some people are just really terrible at it.
Lisa is really terrible at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in that moment, that's a perfect opportunity for you to say, I shouldn't have said those things about your mother. Like, I didn't mean them, and I should not judge your situation. Which she kind of said a little bit last week, but not really that much.
No. Uh-huh. You could tell last week was just like, come on, let's just get over it.
Yeah. And even today, she was like, I don't know why she was mad at me in the first place. It's
right.
Like, you don't?
Mm-hmm.
She tells her Jack is going to Columbia, and that makes Monica cry because her dad was from Columbia and she doesn't know him. And that's like a part of her she has always been missing.
She doesn't know anything about him.
Right. And that situation seems like it's going to be okay for now. Mm-hmm. And we know in Bermuda, Lisa is comforting Monica at one point in the bathroom. So... then Seth says to Heather that we need to like find her a man, and they have this whole conversation about how her perfect man would have no face.
Yeah, I was very confused. I was like,
yeah, I don't get that.
It was funny, but what?
A ski mask.
Yeah. Then Lisa pulls Whitney aside, and I thought this was going to be when she was like, I just want to make sure you're okay. Really, it was for her to talk about the lunch with Meredith and how bad it went.
Mm-hmm.
Make it about her again.
Mm-hmm.
Just salt the wound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa was just a little clueless.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can say, oh, she was in public and I didn't know how she'd react to stuff. And I didn't know all she wants to, but you don't have to make a big deal out of it, but you at least, like, go up and give your friend a hug and say, I am so sorry. I can't believe you're here. Whatever.
Well, and I feel like Monica and Whitney had that moment when Monica first went. She like,
right?
She was gonna say, and Whitney made a face like, and she's like, "Okay, I got you." Type situation. Mm-hmm. So they had, even though they didn't bring it up, like she was still supporting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa's actually delusional. I think
she is.
Whitney basically is like, "Hey, I just lost my best friend. I don't have the capacity to talk about this stuff with you and Meredith. And then Monica pulls them away and gives them these Portuguese pastries and Bermuda rum. And basically is saying that this trip is going to be good for her because, A, it's like a place to get back to her roots. But, B, she actually has family there that she's going to, like, meet up with and stuff like that. And hasn't been able to. And then they all hug. And Heather is kind of like, she's bounced back. You did it. And then we see Whitney talking to Brooks about who, like, this loss and stuff like that. So I think they're putting these little things in there too, just to be like, even Brooks came up to her and said something.
Yeah.
And Lisa didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's also like these gays that come up and try to eat the pastries out of the box.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, those aren't for here. Those aren't free.
Closes all the boxes and stacks them.
But then she says, here, you can have these because someone didn't show up for it. Do you think that was Mary or
Angie? It must have been. Who? Maybe she thought Angie was invited.
Yeah, she must have. Because I don't think Mary's on the trip.
I don't think Mary goes on the trip, no.
So then we get back to Whitney and Lisa. And they walk away and... Lisa asked Whitney, like, are you drinking? Which I don't know why she said that. And Whitney said no, because she's not okay. And she's also not okay because when Lisa walked in and she, like, passed her right by and gave Heather all these gifts and all this stuff. And she didn't even acknowledge, like, are you okay? You lost your best friend, things like that. And Lisa says, Whitney, I can't keep a running list of everything going on with everybody at all times in their lives.
So insensitive.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially when Whitney texted you first yesterday. I mean, it's not like you're supposed to just know out of the blue. You know, like sometimes I can see, like Meredith acts like she had no idea until Whitney told her.
Right.
And, but yeah, that was so uncalled for.
Yeah. I think she should have just said...
You could say that about, like, I didn't... Like, a running list of everything.
Oh, I missed your kid's birthday.
Right.
Right.
I didn't know your kid was beefing with another kid on the playground. Like, I forgot about that. That's fine. But, like, somebody's best friend dying the day before, that's...
Yeah, and you were the person she called to.
That would be at the top of the register, yeah. You know?
Which does make it seem like she just forgot. Like...
I think she didn't forget. I think she was just being defensive. And she was like, okay, I'm being criticized for something. I need to, like, explain my way out of it.
It's weird. It's bizarre. So she says, like, I literally texted you about it last night. And she's like, and I texted you back.
Well, so I guess she's like, that's all. What more do you want from me?
That's all I need to do for you.
I sent you flowers.
She handles this whole situation so poorly.
Yeah. So basically, Whitney says, like, you lack self-awareness and...
emotional intelligence.
Yeah. And Lisa basically thinks that Whitney's just mad because she's now trying to be friends with Heather. And that's fully not the case. It's that you're trying to be fake with Heather when you need to be real with me right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Because she does keep saying, like, I sent you flowers. She's like, it's not about the flowers or the gifts. It's that I needed you and you weren't here for me. And they both storm out. And she says, everything is about you. And Lisa says, no, it's not. They're both crying. And then Lisa says, fuck this, fuck this. She takes her mic off and she says, fuck Whitney. Like, fuck this. I'm selfish and I'm all about myself. Fuck this.
Yeah. Like, it's Whitney's fault.
Uh-huh.
And do you think she thought her mic was off at that point? I mean, there's cameras right in her face. Like, the cameras even have their own mics, I'm sure.
Lacking self-awareness. But I do think she, in that moment, thought she couldn't be heard because she'd taken her mic off.
Yeah. Well, and Justin was right next to her. Or John was right next to her. And he had a mic on.
Yeah.
So.
You would think after one hot mic moment, you would learn your lesson.
I think if my best friend died and I tried to tell someone, I wish you would have been there for me and you weren't, and it ends with you saying, fuck you, that's over.
I agree. That's, yeah.
I don't think there's coming back from that.
This whole season's been a master thesis on how she is actually self-centered.
I mean, and even if that didn't happen, the whole way she handled it prior to that would have been a pretty good deal breaker for me. why can't you just, at the very moment when I say, I am suffering, I need you for there for me, you just grab her and hug her and say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're exactly.
Right. You're right.
And they filmed the reunion last week, which means this episode wasn't out, but they showed them this episode right before filming the reunion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So, then we get a next time on. They fly to Bermuda. Whitney does seem like she's having fun at the beginning. She's, like, trying to catch a fish.
You fall. Yeah. Yeah, Heather
screams, like, shark! But then Meredith is mad because she got one of the only rooms without a bathtub.
Oh, my God.
How much time do you have on these trips to yourself to take, like, full bath? I don't understand.
And Lisa has a bathtub, but she's not giving up her view.
Right. Then we see Lisa and Whitney aren't talking. Obviously, Whitney's still mad at Lisa. We're at the dinner table.
She hurt her feelings.
Yeah, she hurt her feelings. Lisa says apparently her and Heather had a conversation about how Lisa's behavior was horrible and Whitney feels like she needs to fix her behavior, kind of a thing. So I guess we'll see that conversation.
And Heather takes Lisa's side.
I know.
Or it appears that way.
Heather is kind of like, you kind of did. And then Whitney's like, shut the fuck up, Heather. So, what I hope is that Heather does shut up. And that's kind of it.
Yeah. But it won't be.
I know.
And the problem is, I'm sure, is that Heather got all Lisa's side of it. She wasn't involved in any of those conversations. And she got a very jaded view of what really happened. So that's why she's taking Lisa's side. Because there's no way that anybody who knows the whole story would do that, I don't think.
Mm.
To me, it sounds like Heather and Whitney had a conversation. Lisa and Heather had a conversation about what Whitney had said. Mm.
But what if that? What if the conversation she's referring to was prior? Like when, before all this happened?
Oh, maybe.
And Whitney was saying that she needs to help Lisa be a better person.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for a finally international trip from the girls.
Yeah.
So Bermuda, is that where the phone call happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
We know that, or are we speculating? We
know. I think Heather's like in her.
I mean, we're towards the end of the season. There's not going to be another trip.
Yeah. I would guess there's like two or three more episodes and then the reunions.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we'll be back here for reunions.
So you get to hear me again.
In 1 month from now. Unless we get 7 more canceled flights.
No.
Quit saying it.
So tired of driving to the airport just to turn around.
I know.
I know. At the worst time of day ever.
I know. The traffic is always gross.
All right. Well, that is the episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you're listening, rate us, and share it with any of your Real Housewives of Salt Lake City viewing friends that might like podcasts. And if you're listening on Spotify, I put up a poll each week and a question each week, so you can answer those there. Thanks again for those of you who do listen on Spotify and put us in your top. It means a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
I'm Tara.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.